he was obviously a hugely energetic and lively person, and much loved, and I suspect sometimes much resented by people who wanted a quiet life, because he had so many ideas in his head, but they were so well coordinated that he could address all sorts of different situations out of them. But he was also obviously a deeply passionate man, and when he writes in one of his letters to his congregations about that when I was with you, I was like a nurse taking care of her children. I don't think that could have been ironic. I think if he hadn't known that they would have agreed with that, he could never have written it, or they would have torn it up in anger. So I think he was a very caring person, a very loving person, and a very passionate person, and all of that comes out in great measure in the letters.
Now, talking of his letters, of course, you know, we are familiar with him through his letters, and was he just somebody who constantly wrote? Is that how he got the word across?
No, most of the time Paul was on the road, not writing so far as we know, but speaking and engaging with people one-to-one and with crowds and debating in the synagogues and in public lecture halls and all over the place. And the letters represent just the tip of the iceberg of his work. And in the ancient world, as in a measure in the modern, letters were actually thought of as a substitute for the personal presence. And because his vocation was to go right round large swathes of the then known Mediterranean world, he couldn't be with people in all the different places where he wanted to be, so the letters were a substitute for that. And so most of the time he was on the road, and then would spend either months or a year or two in a particular place, then he'd move on to the next place. He was a travelling evangelist and teacher, basically.
Was he a missionary?
He was a missionary. He'd been sent by God, but he wasn't a missionary in the sense of going to one place and being a missionary there and then going back home again. He did have a home base in Antioch, in Syria, but then eventually he abandoned that and was planning to make Rome his new home base, of course, which was one of the reasons he wrote the letter to the Romans.
Now, we all are familiar with his Damascus experience, you know, and in fact the phrase now has gone into everyday language, having a Damascus experience. But it was a change for him. But at the same time, was it a conversion change in the sense that we would know it, that people, if they're going to convert to something else, think about it? Or was he answering a call?
It was both a conversion and a call. What seems to have happened was Paul was brought up as a good Jew with all the Jewish traditions. He was absolutely soaked in them, the scriptures and the later rabbinic interpretations, and he knew them upside down and inside out. And then what happened was not that he abandoned all of that and got something totally new. Like, you know, if somebody had been brought up, say, as a Buddhist and then became a Christian, there would be an awful lot of abandonment and an awful lot of embracing something totally new. For Paul, Jesus Christ was the Messiah of Israel. This was the climax, the fulfillment of everything he dreamed of. It's just that it didn't look at all like he'd imagined it would. And so there was a sense of conversion in the sense of turning around. Instead of being a persecutor of the church, he became its greatest apologist. But at the same time, it was a call, precisely because the Jesus Christ who Paul met on the road to Damascus was the one who had fulfilled Israel's purpose and was now, therefore, reaching out into the Gentile world. And Paul was called to be the one through whom that would happen.
Now, of course, he was a very passionate person as Saul of Tarsus. And was he equally passionate then when he became Paul?
Yes, and Paul uses the word zeal, which is a good Jewish word, and the word zeal tends to mean being so hot and burning for the cause of God that you're going to go charging off and doing whatever you have to do. But the zeal changed in character, because up until then, Paul had thought that the way that God's victories would be won was ultimately by violence, by sacred violence, driving out wicked people from Israel to keep Israel pure and enable everybody to keep the law, and then he thought God's kingdom would come. Instead of which, because his expectations of what God was going to do had been redefined around Jesus himself, the crucified and risen Jesus, that cross and resurrection moment transformed his zeal into something totally other, and it became a zeal for love, for service, for humility, for going wherever was necessary at whatever cost, and to take the sufferings of the world on to himself rather than to inflict them on people, so that the world could hear the message.
And in doing all that, we talked about it there a minute ago, but did he have to abandon all his former beliefs?
Paul didn't abandon really most of his former beliefs because he believed in the God of Israel, the God who had made the world, the God who was in covenant with Abraham, the God who led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and so on and so on. So all of that remains. It's just that how you have to think of it in terms of a story. Supposing you have a novel which is three parts finished, but the ending is yet to come, and you give it to different people and say, write your own ending to this novel. And some people have written their ending and they're so excited by it that they think that must be what the whole story is about. And then suddenly here comes the real author and says, actually, this is how I finished it. And you realize that all sorts of things in the earlier parts, which you hadn't really understood, now come into full focus. Now, Paul had been living with his version of how to finish the novel, and suddenly, on the road to Damascus, he realizes that God himself has brought the story to its climax, and that it's significantly different in how it ends from what he thought it was going to be.